Thank you for subscribing to InvestTalk. We'll begin in just a moment. KPP Financial Senior Vice President Justin Klein explains why a registered investment advisor firm wants to talk about real estate.
Your home is an important piece of your total financial picture. You need to make sure that when you do retire, you have a plan to maybe relocate, downsize if need be.
Contact Justin directly with a note on investtalk.com. Just select Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is February 18th, 2016. Our InvestTalk mission is to empower you to take full charge of your financial life and to someday achieve financial independence. Isn't that what we all want? I think we all do. We all want to be rich. We all know that. We want to be rich so we can spend the money when we want to and how we want to. But to do that, to gain that financial independence, you have to understand how money works, how it grows, how it shrinks. Think of money not as something you spend, but something that you manage. So you got to be, it's got to be managed well so you can spend it properly. Not overspend, not underspend. I'm not trying to tell you you can't spend money. You can. But how to manage the funds well. And I'm here to answer any questions you might want to ask about money. You can reach me directly during this hour, live, 4 to 5 Pacific time on our listen line. The number is 888-99-CHART. You can also leave your question at the same number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can also send me a note by clicking on Contact Steve or Contact Justin and send at investtalk.com and send us an email. So what are the challenges for the average person planning their retirement? There are questions to be answered, of course. What are the goals for retirement? You want to retire now, 10 years from now, 20, you never want to retire. So what is a realistic time frame for a retirement if that's what you want to do? And what does retirement mean for you? It's kind of important. If you want to achieve financial independence and not rely on your children, which happens all the time. I'm supporting one of my wife's father, you know, didn't plan for his financial independence. So maybe you are caring for a parent. Well, you don't want to be that person for your children, do you? And so there's questions to ask, questions to answer. You know, what's your goals? How much money do you need in retirement? Are you going to travel? How much are you saving now? How much risk do you want to take? How much risk are you comfortable with? All those things. You know, give me some statistics. If you're a 65-year-old couple, on average, one of you will live to age 92. And if the average inflation rate is 3%, which is below that now, but let's just say the average over the U.S. economy the last 100 years is 3%. That means that the cost of living will double in 24 years. And if you're 65 retired and you're going to live to the average 92, guess what? you're going to need to double your money, spendable money, over those years. So you got to think about these things. How are you going to do that? How are you going to achieve that? So you got to make some decisions. You got to come up with some retirement strategies. Do you think in terms of focusing on income producing investments, or are you just thinking about growth? Are you just thinking about how much money you can take out every month? You got to think about these things. So how do you structure your portfolio? Short-term income needs versus long-term goals, long-term income needs, and combine that all with what you think inflation is going to be. These are very important issues, everybody. Everybody individually needs to think about it. So now, if you want to take advantage of our free service, you can go to investtalk.com, click on schedule a meeting. And again, these are 1-hour slots, which are limited. I meet with people in San Jose Satellite Office. I'll be there February 24th. And then San Diego in La Jolla on March 2nd. So if you want to meet with me, those are the days. Also, You know, I do sessions over the phone, and I Skype as well. Not really good at Skyping, but, you know, I do that. So if you're not in our California locations, I still can do it for you. Take a look at your portfolio, talk to you about what we can do to help you, and or what you can do to help yourself. Now, do you have questions about investing strategies for your particular situation? Any money questions today are welcome. Let's talk about it. Let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Yes, my question concerns the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation, and I'm curious, do we have any exposure as to any possible additional coverage that the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation might have in the current economic climate? Thanks. Bye-bye.
Do you have any additional coverage? And I would say no, in general, no. The pension guarantee fund is there, guaranteeing pensions. But I would like to warn everybody that if you have a pension and your company is rolling along and you're in retirement and you have the pension guarantee fund backing you up, that does not mean that you will receive the exact same pension you're getting today than if your pension goes under. In other words, a company backing the pension, your company goes under, goes bankrupt, can't afford the pension anymore, and it was underfunded, because many of them are underfunded, then you think you're getting, you know, your $5,000 a month? Well, the pension guarantee fund doesn't guarantee that $5,000 a month. It guarantees that a pension will be paid, but the rate could be less. I know this for a fact because I had a friend working for an airline that's exactly what happened. Okay, so no, there's no, additional coverage, if that's what you're asking. No, just what is there. Slow but steady investors sleep better at night. That's going to be our main talking point. Slow but steady investors sleep better at night. Also, why negative interest rates are not good for the world economy, not good for our economy, not good for any economy. But the central banks think they are. But I'm going to show you why they're not good. Why hasn't lower oil prices helped the world economy? Wouldn't it help it? Why hasn't it? Because it hasn't so far. Matter of fact, it's hurt. These lower oil prices have hurt the world economy. And finally, is there enough worry or fear to start buying stocks again? Remember, you know, Warren Buffett, everybody in the world, all the books teach you that you want to buy stocks at maximum fear in the stock market. Well, are we there? And how do you gauge it? I want to talk about some gauges that people look at and where they are and whether that's maximum fear. And yesterday I never got to it, but I would like to talk about the 1937 recession, 37-38 recession. Remember, that was right in the middle of the Great Depression. What were the causes? Why did it happen? What did the Fed do? Those kinds of things. If we can get to it, I want to talk about that. So those are going to be the talking points today. But first, let's talk about the market. The Dow was down 40. The Nasdaq down 47. So the Nasdaq led the way downward. And then S&P down 9. Now this is after three very good, very strong up days in a row. 3 days in a row, very strong up days. Now those strong up days just brought the indexes, many of them, at least the S&P is what I'm looking at right now, but I looked at all of them today, right up near resistance. The resistance was right around 1940 or so, and it only got to about 1920 or so. So 20 more points on the S&P 500 is where there's a lot of resistance. So we might still have some more ways to go with the upside. It may break through that short-term resistance because much heavy resistance comes in around 2000. Much, much heavier resistance comes in around that number. Are we going to get up there? I don't know. It's going to be difficult. I mean, you got 1980 to 85 and then 2000. There's going to be some tough resistance in that area. Tough resistance meaning that the prices move up. What they do is they go to a place where they've been before, and the last time they were there, the market rolled over back down. So is the market ready to break out? And that's going to be one of my talking points. Is there enough worry and fear to start buying? We'll talk about it in more detail. Again, you can register for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference in San Jose. It's this Saturday, day after tomorrow, February 20th. You can do a register online at investtalk.com. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. Seats are filling up fast. We are just about at capacity with only a couple of days left. So the cost is $45, and we'll have a continental breakfast for you. Seating is limited, so do that now. That's on investtalk.com. Or you can call 888-99-CHART. Love to give you, love to talk to you, so give us a call. Slow but steady investors sleep better at night. This is an article you can refer to. It's an older article, but try not to think, try not to read too much in the in what it's talking about the market today, because this is a January article. But think about what they're saying about investors. And if you think about it, they're talking about either investing all your money at one time or dollar cost averaging. What's better? Well, in 2000, this is last year, if you dollar cost average all year long, you'd probably be up a little bit because of dividends. Dollar cost average. If you invested all the money January 1st last year, you'd be down for last year. If you invested it at the bottom of the market in August, of course, you'd be up. You invested it in the May area last year, you'd be down because that was the top. So what would be better? Well, maybe slow and steady dollar cost averaging over time is the better route to go. It's less worrisome. You're always buying stocks, whether they're up or down. You don't have to worry about it. You don't care if it goes up or down. In fact, you would rather go down. If you dollar cost average, you want the market to go down because you buy things cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Eventually, they turn around. They've always turned around. This is what gets, I don't get this. The market always turns around and people sell at the bottom all the time. Now, if you dollar cost averaging, I have it in my family that we, you know, that they're dollar cost averaging into their 401ks. I said, just keep doing it. Don't worry about it. And several of them stopped at the bottom of the market in 2008, early 2009. And they didn't tell me, of course. And then they started back up at the end of 2009 when the market already made a huge return. And they can't figure out why they don't make money. Well, because you're doing it wrong. Keep doing it. If you're dollar cost averaging in a 401k, don't even pay attention. Just keep doing it. You start paying attention when you're 5 or 10 years out from retirement. Maybe you can start paying attention then. But get some advice what you should do at that point. Maybe you should get more conservative. Depends on you. When are you going to retire? So, you know, this whole article is about, well, what is the best thing? Dollar cost averaging is not the cure-all, by the way. It'd be better if you bought it at the bought at the bottom of the market, but no one rings a bell at the bottom. No one tells you when. As soon as you try to start guessing at the bottom, you're going to guess wrong. You're going to guess wrong. Most people can't buy at the bottom. They get scared. They're scared because it's at the bottom. It's been going down. We're losing money. I don't want to buy more. I don't want to buy now. It's going down. I'm going to wait till it turns around. Then they sit and wait. Well, when's it turn around? How long? See, it's very difficult, very, very difficult, especially when you're dealing with your own money. So be very, very careful. The best thing is just, if you're in a 401k especially, just keep dollar cost averaging in. If you got years to go before retirement, don't worry about it. If you're closer to retirement, you have to be a little bit sharper than that. Maybe you need to be a little bit more conservative, less risky. And then you got to understand how do you do that. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk, and I appreciate it. We're here to help you to answer any of your money questions that you might have. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Chris from Baltimore. I'm a podcast listener. I wanted to get your thoughts on Kinder Morgan, symbol KMI. I know Warren Buffett recently bought this and sent it soaring. I wanted to get your thoughts on the underlying analysis. Thanks. I'll be listening on the podcast. Have a good day.
Well, there was an article out this morning that that Warren Buffett did not buy shares of Kinder Morgan. There was a rumor that was out there, and I don't know for sure that he didn't buy because there's an article that was released this morning that he did not. Yahoo Finance did not buy parts of Kinder Morgan. Kinder Morgan's KMI, everybody, is the symbol. It provides natural gas transportation and storage services in North America. And this would not be something he would buy, by the way, because it's not cheap enough. Warren Buffett likes to buy things when they're really distressed, when they're really cheap, when, you know, that's where he likes to go. And this is a $39 billion stock that pays a 2.8% dividend yield, and the dividend was just recently decreased after a number of increases last year, and they decreased. And this is one of the things I've been warning you about these types of stocks, natural gas, transportation, storage, you know, oil storage and movement of pipelines, that kind of thing, is that, you know, the dividends can only be supported by earnings. Now, this company is going to make 74 cents this year and make 82 cents next year per share. And it's a $23 stock. So that's not a cheap stock by any means. And the return on equity is only 5%. And it has lots and lots of debt. Now, management owns 14%, so they'll be pretty focused. Mutual funds are neither net buyers or sellers in the last year. And sales have been going down the last four quarters. Now, they've been going down because prices of oil and natural gas have been going down. So there will be a time when it turns around. There will be. I wouldn't buy it at this point, though. I don't think it's cheap enough. And I don't like that huge debt they're carrying. And they just recently bought, I mean, just the first part of this month, 15 refined product terminals from BP Products. So they're buying, they're spending more money to beef up their portfolio assets. Problem is they're trading at 11 times book value. It's not cheap. It's expensive. I wouldn't buy it. Not for me. KMI is the symbol. KMI. We used to own a number of these several years ago. And we held on to them for a little over a year, and because the dividends were 8, 9, 10%, and they were really hot. And then they got overpriced, and it was just crazy to hold on to them because they were too expensive. So, you know, we sold them well over a year ago. Anyways, KMI, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Why negative interest rates are not good for the world economy, and they're not good for any economy. Okay, let's look at them. The ECB has negative 3/10 interest rate, 0.3%. ECB, European Central Bank. Sweden has a minus 1.1% interest rate. Denmark, minus 0.65 interest rate. Switzerland, minus 0.75, and Japan, minus 0.1. So think about what the central banks have done. They've gone to zero interest rates, lowering because of the recession we were in. Then they went to quantitative easing. Okay, and some of these countries are still doing quantitative easing. And now they're moving toward negative interest rates. Why? How come going to zero didn't stimulate the world economy? How come quantitative easing didn't work? Obviously it didn't work because now you're going to negative interest rates, all the central banks. It's not working. What they're doing is they're pushing on the supply stimulus, supply of money into the system. They're saying to banks, don't hold on to money in your banks. Lend it out. Push it out the door. Get things moving. And the banks are saying, we don't have any place to push it. Instead of focusing on the demand side of the economies, meaning people wanting to borrow money and wanting to grow their companies or wanting to put employees, the central banks are all on the stimulus side. And then, of course, what does that do, this cheap money? It leads to bubbles, distorts real economies. And it also allows politicians to rely on easy money instead of fixing the problems or putting in some kind of fiscal stimulus, maybe cutting taxes, doing something that will work, because this is not working what they're doing. Just letting you know, this is not working. It's obvious it's not working. And yet they continue to do it. It makes no sense. Of course, our central bank have increased rates in December. What did that do? It certainly didn't help. Are we going to get any fiscal stimulus from the other side of our government, from the Congress, from the president? Not an election year. We're not. You think something's going to happen? You think they're going to cut taxes or spend a lot more money? Neither one. Not going to do it. Not in an election year. Not this year. Not going to happen. So our Federal Reserve, you think they're going to try to stimulate only if they see us go fall into recession? So it's not going to happen. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up in the next half hour, there's more than one type of trade. Market order, limit order, trailing stop loss, a bracket order. So what's the difference of all these things? Do you know what kind of orders they are? We'll be talking about that. 888-99-CHART is our end of time number. You can call right now.
For our Southern California subscribers, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, here's a seminar for you. Learn the ins and outs of the 1031 exchange, and InvestTalk's own Justin Klein will dig into the investment side of real estate. You'll see examples, too, of current real estate investments. It's Thursday, February 25th, 5:30 p.m. at J.T. Schmid's Restaurant. That's 2415 Park Avenue in Tustin, California. And again, that's February 25th at J.T. Schmid's in Tustin. We continue now with the Thursday, February 18th Invest Talk. And now you can think of KPP Financial as a resource for real estate answers. To get your individual questions to us, click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART right now.
Job number one on Invest Talk is answering questions. That's what we like to do. That's what I want to do. So our 24-hour listener line is always open. Anytime, any money question, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave from Boston, and I'm looking to build a portfolio of dividend stocks, and I'm looking at a REIT, WY. Why don't you give me your opinion on that? Thank you.
Okay, WY is Weyhaeuser Company. That's not a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. It's not. I take that back. I'm a liar. It's a REIT that manufactures wood products. I wonder when they changed over to be a REIT, because that's not how they've never used to be, but you know, I'm not keeping up enough, I guess. A REIT that manufactures wood products, container boards, cellulose paper for the construction and industrial markets, and you got to remember, this is going to be very, very cyclical. In other words, it's going to be attached to the economic cycle. If the economy's doing well, this should do well. If the economy's doing poor, this will do poorly. They pay a 5.2% dividend, and of course that's why you buy REITs, is for that dividend. Remember, a REIT is where a company has to pay 90% of its earnings out in the form of a dividend to the shareholders to qualify for a REIT, and as a REIT, they don't have to pay income tax at their corporate level. That's the benefit. Now, it's expensive. See, I think everybody's worried, everybody's thinking that these stocks have gone down, and now they're cheap. They're not cheap. It's very easy to figure out why they're not cheap. For three quarters in a row, earnings per share for S&P 500 companies have gone down. Three quarters in a row. So if earnings have gone down and the stock price has gone down, it doesn't mean it's cheaper stock, because cheap means any the relation of the price of stock to the earnings. So this one has a 23 PE. They're going to make $1.29 this year. Okay, which is nicely up from last year, $1.04. And they say they're going to make $1.61 next year while sales are falling 3 to 8% per quarter. Debt is 102%. Management owns 1. A return on equity of 11%, which is okay. So why is the stock falling? Probably because, remember, it's attached to the economic cycle. The economy is not, people are worried about the economy. That's why. People are worried about it. Not necessarily that we are in a downward cycle in the economy, that they're worried about a downward cycle in the economy. And therefore, the stock has gone down, and it's, you know, it's at $23.84, up $1.24 this week so far, down today about 34 cents. But is it cheap? Is it more attractive? I love the dividend, and I think the dividend is pretty secure. But, you know, at a $1.61 and a $23 stock, that's a fair price. That's a fair price. But it's 2.5 times book, which is a little bit on the expensive side. I would, this could be a place to buy, but I would probably wait. I'd wait. I don't think anybody should be in a big rush to put on new positions anytime soon. Yes, you can buy some things. I'm not saying you can't. But I don't know if I'd put this one on right now. It's still in a downward trend. That trend has to be stopped. It has to be at least recovering. And for me, I'd like to see it recover to above $26 a share before, at this point, before I'd consider buying. It came right back up to the 20-day moving average, and today it stopped. That's still not very positive, not very bullish, so I wouldn't buy it yet. Jim in Florida. How you doing, Jim?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I'm an avid listener of your podcast. I can't pick up your program live, but I am
calling live.
So,
appreciate it.
I've always, for the past 4 years, I've had 10% of my investment money in a healthcare fund because I believe we have an aging society. Mm-hmm. And I cut that position to 5% about 10 days ago. And now watching IBB, the ETF for the pharmaceuticals, that's dropped from 400 to 240. Mm-hmm. And it's had a nice little run the last couple of days. I guess my question is it time to take part of a position in that and maybe head back into that? Because that's quite a drop.
I would say no. This is the biotech industry, the iShares for the biotech. Okay. So not the whole healthcare industry and not pharmaceutical. No. So it's the biotech. It's the high growth part, the high risk part of the healthcare industry, biotech.
Yes.
And that's why it went from $400 all the way down to 240. It was at $400 a share back in July and down to 240. Yeah. I think my personal belief is that we're still not done with this correction. And that's why I'm saying it,
okay.
Daniel. Jim, I just don't think we're done with the correction. And so this was a nice little bump that we've had the last 3 days. Today it took a pretty good dive, down $6.90 to $2.59.
Yes.
I think you just got to be a bit more patient. Let's see how the overall market shakes out. This is going to set up itself, Jim, to be a great buying opportunity. I just don't know.
I guess, do you think because of the presidential election that the pharmaceuticals will get hit even harder?
I think that the government's not going to do anything this year. President or the Congress are not going to do anything positive or negative to upset the reelection cycle. So the market's going to be on its own, and I don't think the Fed is going to do much either. So the market is going to be on its own, and we've seen lower earnings. So this is why I'm being very, very cautious. And so I think it's a great thing to watch. But let's see if right now it failed at the 20-day moving average. Went right to it yesterday and then fell off today.
So I
got to see some strength come back into it before I decide to buy it. Okay, Jim?
So what would you say, maybe 280? 300?
I don't know if it needs to go up that high. I would love to see it break above 280. I would love, because that's where the next resistance level is.
All right.
I think it just be patient.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Jim. Let's go to Daniel in Los Altos. How you doing, Daniel?
Pretty good, Steve. I had a similar question. I listen to you on 1220 every day.
Thank you.
About gold, I think I'd asked you the last week. I'm just, given what you almost answered my question, I'm tempted to add to gold positions every time there's an uptick in the market. Does that make sense to you, given that we may not have seen the correction end yet?
I think in gold, we've seen the end of its correction, okay? And we saw, I think the bottom, if you look at the bottom in December, early January, it looks like a very solid bottom put in, started to rise in late January, continued to rise here in February. Now I have a number of gold positions. I have 5, I think, gold mining companies, something like that, in my stock account. And I want to add one more. Okay, I really do. But I'm going to wait.
I've got
for a pullback.
Gotcha. Another pullback, because I've been seeing gold, you know, just go up and down on a daily basis.
Yeah. See, it shot up in the last couple of weeks, right? And we had one big down day yesterday. I said, okay, good. Here's going to be my pullback. There should be several days of this. And then, of course, it rebounded today. It, you know, didn't get...
Right. So it's not too late. And I was thinking about buying Newmont, AUY, some of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Hi. Not too late. I don't own any of those, by the way, but I own others. I own others. I would be... I can't...
I was trying to hit one of them, but those were the ones I was looking at.
Okay. If you send me an email, Daniel, go to my website.
Yes, sir.
Send me an email and ask me the question. I'll send you the symbols we own, but I can't do it over the air.
I understand totally. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate the call. And of course, I'd do that for anybody who asks, but I got to be very careful. There's SEC rules that I got to comply with. I can't, like... I'm not supposed to say, buy this company, I like it. You never hear me say that. You only hear me answer questions of people about a company. That's what you hear. And if somebody calls me up and asks me about a company and we own it, I will admit to the fact that we own it, because I can do that. But I can't, like, just give you, well, here's five symbols of companies we own that we really like. I can't do that. That's not... Yeah, and most likely SEC won't hear about it, but if it ever did and I get audited, guess who gets fined for that kind of stuff? The Securities and Exchange Commission, they're not friendly people when you break a rule. Might not catch you today, but you never know. And then you get fined, and then that's reported on your ADV, and it's a mess, you know, and you're living with it forever, and you didn't think you did anything wrong. The crooks, they have trouble finding those people. It's the people who are trying to follow rules that they find. Just letting you know. There's one. Time for InvestTalk 101, everybody. Getting started trading. And there's, first of all, you need to know there's more than one type to put an order to buy or sell something. Like term, have you ever heard market order? That's the most common order, market order, where you put in an order and just say, okay, I want to buy this at whatever price is at the market right now. Then there's a limit order. Limit order is where you say, hey, I want to buy this at $32.12. That's a limit order. And then you have stop losses, and you have different types of orders. You know, there's more than just those two type of orders. And getting out, how do you get out? You can sell at market order. You can put a limit order to sell. You can put a trailing stop loss to sell. All these things. And they're not complicated. You just have to know what they mean. It's not complicated. You just got to get the definition. Investopedia.com is a great place to get definitions of these things. And so the trading that I'm talking about, though, is not day trading. I'm not talking about buying these orders and day trading. That's a little bit different. I'm talking about buying a stock or selling a stock that you own and you don't want. Day trading is different. Yeah, you do put orders in, just like, you know, market limit, so on and so forth. But almost all day traders, almost all professional traders put in limit orders. They want a specific price. They don't go to market. So there's also different fees you got to be aware of these kind of orders. Some like a stop loss order could be higher cost, could be, than just a regular limit order. You have to know what your brokerage firm charges for these things. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, please get through to us at 888-99-CHART or make a personal note and send it to me. Send a direct email to my desk. Go to contact Steve on InvestTalk.com and send me an email.
There are certain privileges to being on the inside. InvestTalk insiders get the inside track. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and Justin. Important topics too: annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, and updated ETF lists. And there's more. Sign up now. It's free on InvestTalk.com. Now, InvestTalk Real Estate. Chevy Akison, real estate agent and investor, speaks with Justin Klein about, is now a good time to downsize?
Now, a lot of seniors are looking to downsize, or at least maybe they should be thinking about downsizing because they're living in a house that's bigger than they really need. So is today's housing market the right environment to be downsizing in?
You know, that's a great question, Justin. So I have a lot of people right now that come to me and say, you know, the market's been really, really hot. And so I'm thinking about selling my property. And my first question is, okay, where are you going to move? So, you know, obviously, if you're going to be moving up to a more expensive property, it's actually better for you a little bit if the market goes down.
Yeah.
Where right now the market is hot. It seems to keep rising. So it really kind of depends what you think. And again, what you can do with the equity that's tied up in the property. Mm-hmm. Downsizing, you know, there's plenty of opportunity. I don't have a crystal ball on what's going to happen with the market. So it's tough to say. I mean, obviously you have $1 million house in the next 2 years, it goes up 20% and you're not going to be able to get that same return on investment. You know, one could argue that it would be better to hold that property if you're only going to go to $500,000 property, because obviously 20% of $1 million is a lot more than 20% of 500. Mm-hmm. With that being said, rates are extremely low. Prices have gone up a lot. We're getting to a place where affordability is a little bit questionable. I don't think there's a huge amount of appreciation people are going to be leaving on the table. And California is a really volatile market. So, you know, I think if you know you're going to sell in the next few years, the market seems to have leveled off a little bit. I would rather sell in a market that's a little more challenging to sell, because then I know I'm not leaving a bunch of equity on the table potentially, than sell in a market where I have 14 offers and it's getting bid up, because I don't know how much equity, I don't know how much longer that's gonna last.
And that's InvestTalk Real Estate. If you have a question about real estate right now, 888-99-CHART is the number to call, or click Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
When the market goes through these periods of volatility, everybody, that we're seeing now from January to today, I mean, pretty volatile market, do you worry that your retirement portfolio might be too vulnerable? Or if you should dare to be aggressive when stock prices dip? And that's going to be one of my talking points today. I'm going to talk about it. Is there enough worry out there? We'll come to our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference and we'll talk about, you know, how to take advantage of the volatility. It's 9 to noon this Saturday in San Jose. You can sign up right now online. Just go to investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, our InvestTalk Anytime number, always the same, 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions, any money questions you might have, 888-99-CHART. So is there enough worry or fear in the stock market to start buying stocks? I'm talking about in general, because there's certain fears in certain sectors that are much more than others. But is there, you know, like the biotech sector that we mentioned earlier, is there enough fear there? Well, what you're looking for is a lot of bearishness. You're looking for people who are really scared. How do you judge that? Well, one way is to look at the weekly survey of the AAII, the American Association of Independent Investors, and that is very bearish. In other words, they're very high in cash, want to be out of the market, they're pretty bearish. And that goes the same way with some surveys by professional investors as well, very bearish. On the other hand, if you look at the VIX, which is the put-call ratio, that's not very bearish. It never really spiked like we saw in August. There was a huge spike. But there hasn't been that much. There's more bearishness, but not a spike, not a large fear coming in. So, and if you look at the RSI, that also is kind of, you know, showing us a kind of a bit of bullishness, that you should be bullish. RSI is relative strength indicator. So what am I saying? Are we ready to buy? And I'm going to have to give the nod to no. I don't think so. I don't think there's enough fear. I don't. I, 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 And there's mixed signals on this, so there's no real yes or no answer that I can give you. But for my own self, I think that we don't have enough bearishness. It's not a bear enough. Let's go to James in New York. He wants to talk about energy stocks. How are you doing, James?
I'm well. Good evening. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I wanted to know about ticker NRG. NRG, if that might be a prospect for the year to hold for 6 or 7 months or so.
Okay.
Expect a rise out of that?
I like the energy space, the energy sphere right now. I think there's enough fear that's been in that space to say that maybe it's time to look at some of these stocks. NRG is a $3.2 billion company, so it's a small cap. Supplies electricity in Texas, so it generates electrical power, not necessarily oil or natural gas. I think the oil and natural gas is the energy I was talking about as far as being enough fear. But I also will tell you that even in our seminar this Saturday, we're going to talk about utilities, as that you want to be in utilities when the economy is not doing very well, because they hold up pretty well and they have a nice dividend. Remember, everybody still needs electricity. It's not cyclical. So they're still going to make money. And this is going to make 28 cents a share this year and then 58 cents a share next year. Sales are pretty flat to negative last couple of quarters. But I think that you're looking at a stock that's putting in a bottom here, James. It has started in December, put in a bottom. Late in December, retested it. Then it rose up a little bit, then retested the bottom again in late January. And just recently, a few days ago, it went close to the bottom again. So there's like three or four bottoms here. So I think we've seen a bottom. However, to be a buy signal, I think it needs to get above about $11.80 to $11.90. Okay, that would be a buy signal for NRG. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you kindly.
Thanks, James. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to us out there in New York. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do think utilities are good defensive plays. Doesn't mean they won't go down. But what this one's already gone down. I see two insider buyers recently. So I think this is pretty – it's fallen from like $26 back in May of last year down to a little below 10. And here's $10.43 now. So, I mean, it's been cut more than in half. And it looks pretty reasonable price to me with a good cash flow, and it's fairly defensive. So, yeah, I kind of think this might be a time to buy. I would wait, as I said, wait for a little more strength to come into it. I want it to break before I really get into it. That's what I would like to see. 888-99-CHART. We are running out of time, everybody. Our time is up. I'm sorry about that. We'll do it again tomorrow, of course. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com, investtalk.com with two T's, and clicking on Contact T. That's an email that comes directly to my desk. And I try very diligently to answer all my emails. If I don't answer you, that means something happened, but I will answer. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. Please join us again tomorrow. And Saturday, I hope to see you in person at a wealth conference in San Jose.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.